Has anybody had such a trying week as I have?
Yeah.
Okay, then. I'll call it the way I see it. Welcome to the ministry.
Ha ha. I already heard that from you on Friday, okay?
It doesn't change. It's just going in there. Turn to 1 John 5. The message is, nothing is impossible for you, under the subheading of spiritual maturity. 1 John 5, verses 2 through 4. Today the Spirit is definitely moving and touching hearts and really trying to get us out of our complacency that we've fallen into. Yeah, we're complacent. We've gotten comfortable. And what we do is we prioritize the things of our lives before the things of God. And so today I want to exhort you to grow up. Okay? 1 John, verse 2. This is how we know the love. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And as His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. We are revving back up into ministry. That doesn't mean ministry stopped. It just means what we normally would do as a fellowship is beginning to rev back up. And because of it, there is a continuation of equipping that is ongoing and will continue to ongo. And so today what I'm going to do is show you what this process has been like for the last 9 years, 10 years, because there has been a purpose all along in everything that we have done to equip you for the works of the ministry. Not equip me, equip you. And so what we have to understand is that in this design, this plan, this purpose, every Bible study, every sermon, every teaching, every activity has been designed to overcome fear and our apathy of what's going on in the world. Everything has been. Whether you've been paying attention, whether you've been not paying attention, everything has been designed that. I can remember when we first got one out and we were dealing with evangelism, and what we did years ago was we went out into the community for a couple weekends, a couple hours every weekend, and we took a survey. We surveyed what was going on, the heartfelt needs of the community. Not that we were meeting them, because the purpose was for you to get out of your comfort zone and begin to get into the community. That was to overcome fear. That was to really begin to see that the things of God require spies into the land that we're going to take. And we have progressed so much further than that, that I want to take a short period of time to explain what has been going on so that you can see that the plan and purpose has been steadily moving forward, and where you've missed the ball. You see, what I've been dealing with, whether you understand it or not, is a religious spirit that is coinciding with your religious mindset. And a religious mindset says you have options. The only option that you have, according to the Word of God, is to do the Word of God. That's it. And when the man of God gives instruction, it's not an option. It is not an option. Okay? What it's meant to do is to prick your heart so that the Holy Spirit can move in and take His place to motivate you to do the things that God wants done. Case in point. Foundations. Everyone has gone through foundations, correct? What's the purpose of foundations? Good, Irene. Come on. I saw that hand move, twitch. Right. The foundation, whether you got holes in it, have not been taught properly, or have been taught, it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is we have to clear the debris of your life and lay a foundation that is set firm in Jesus Christ, which is through love. Do we love God? Do we have this compulsion within us to want to please God and do everything in our lives to bring glory to Him? Or, as Irene was saying, do I just have something in reserve for me? How much can I go to please God but yet still have something for me? And foundations is to lay that. It's to get all the debris out of your life and begin to set something in there so the Lord can build you up. We went to roots of character. And what was the design for roots of character? Those of us that have gone through roots. Okay. It's real close. So jettison the baggage of our past lives to produce godly fruit of character to withstand the things of the world. How many of us are still carrying the garbage of our lives when the Holy Spirit wants to work in us and deal with us and produce the character of Jesus Christ? You see, we're to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Not like the Savior. Not like the little babe in the manger. When we try to identify with those things, we miss the greater purpose of God for each one of us. We started off with evangelism, and then we went to contagious Christianity, and from there we went and dealt with the way of the Master, which I feel that the way of the Master is probably the easiest way to share your faith through conversation, like Dan was sharing. But there are certain principles that we need not violate any longer. It's really, when we talk to these groups outside of our group, we need to know what the Word of God says and use it in such a way that it brings conviction to their heart that they would come and repent. And we've learned through these teachings that it'll take about 7 times to touch a person's heart in such a way that they say yes to the Savior and become born again. And then that process starts all over. And then we did encounter with God. What was the purpose of encounter with God? The purpose was no different than Moses leading Israel to come and meet their God and have a real relationship with Him. That He's not some person who wants to put us under His thumb and beat us and He wants us to crawl up on His lap and be loved by Him and be told how important each and every one of us is. The purpose of it is to have this living relationship with Jesus Christ in a way that is second to none. That the things of the world don't come in. And my relationship to Jesus Christ presses it out. That we actually influence the world. And then we talked about kingdom finances. Which is to teach you how to build a financial house properly. And how to use the resources that God has given to you practically. Correct? And all of us are doing that, right? It's not that I'm angry. It's what I'm trying to get you to understand is each one of these 5 is one of the graces that God has given for your life. And if your life is not aligning with God, you will not be able to see where we're going, because each one is designed for an individual family that must correlate with the family of God. You understand this? We have not yet become the family of God when we have a personal agenda and we're doing things that are contrary to what God says to do. Because basically, we're selfish and self-centered, and we're still thinking about how I can get something without it costing me anything. And it doesn't change. It's going to cost you everything that you are and everything you have, because it's His, not yours any longer. Your very own life is not yours. And all these things are designed to help you come to understand what it really means to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And what happens is a religious spirit comes in, or a spirit of witchcraft, or a Jezebel spirit will come in and tell us, you don't have to attend that. You don't need to be discipled. I've gone through it with the teenagers. I know. They know everything. They tell me. And then when they hit 20-something and their life is turned over to them, they find out how smart mom and dad really are. My son came to me after he graduated from college, and he was living on his own for a year. He said, "Dad, when I went to college, I didn't think you knew anything. I thought you were probably the dumbest guy in the world. But you know something? After 5 years of college, you've really become really smart." All these things, if you have not partaken of these things, you still have holes in your foundation. You have holes that need to be fixed for you to be used of God to the fullest, not to the minimalist. Understand that. Other things we added were studies for lovers of God, which was to understand how God's love transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. We had a life of excellence, which is designed to have a relationship with God through the transformation of our thoughts and speech into actions or act of faith. And doing things excellently, everything that we do. I used to be one of those guys, "That's good enough." Wasn't I? I used to be one of those guys. Used to. And now, it's not only Irene proof, or what they call it, approved. It's pastor approved. Would pastor do this? Would he give this to Jesus? Would you give what you're giving to Jesus? Would that be acceptable? I can't speak for you, but I'm going to give Him my best, because He gave me His very best. God gave me His Son, His only Son, to pay for my sins, to give me a relationship with my Father in heaven. And I will not settle to give Him a lamb with spot or wrinkle. What have you been offering up as your sacrifice? Have you offered anything to God as a sacrifice? You see, become the people of God. That's what's required of you. That's what's required of me. Not just me. Not just Miss Irene. Not just the leaders. Everyone. David said, "I will not offer God nothing unless it cost me something," when he went to the threshing floor. You see, in order for streams to get into the community, and I don't know how many of you guys understand what has been going on through this summer, but there's a sacrifice that is required. Not only of me, but of you. And it all has to deal with the condition of your heart. Do you love God? Do you really know who God is? Do you really know His will for your life? Do you know what the vision and will of God is for Streams? Or are you just happy enough to, well, Pastor's got it. He knows where he's going. I'm just following along. I'm going with this for the ride. I am not going to be here forever. When I talk about stuff, and I don't want to get morbid, what I'm talking about is, will this ministry, and I've asked the leaders, will this ministry survive after we're gone? That's the testimony of your love for Jesus Christ. Or are you just here because I have such a wonderful personality? Even I have to laugh at that. We've offered things like Truth Project to help you with your thinking about the world. We've offered you things through men's ministry, women's ministry. Have you taken that? Have you become that? Or don't you see the relevancy of it? Because everything is geared to build you to do the work. Everything. And when you don't show up to these things, and believe me, I'm not browbeating you, but I just want you to see what your choice is stating. When you don't show up and participate to these things, you're telling the Lord it's not good enough. You have something better to do. And it all goes back to, is your house in order? Because, you see, our houses have to be in order so that when a call goes out for people to show up to something, and granted, we have only two stipulations. We have the Main Street, and we have tree lighting. The rest is whether your heart is pricked for your community. Do you want souls to be won? Are you going to imbibe in the things that is being provided for? We are told to infiltrate this community, and it requires us to participate in the community. And your lack of participation in the things that build you up is really self-defeating to you, not to me. I can remember when we first started the ministry. It was Irene, myself, and Nolan. We started a Bible study. Prayer group, which was just Nolan, me, and a few other guys. That's how it started. Everything that has happened so far is geared for your edification. Everything happens for a reason. And we have to understand that where we are going is greater than where we are presently. And hopefully you're gaining the insight that the Sunday celebration or Bible study or women's groups or work details and all aren't just what's needed to be done. They're all designed to help give you the opportunity to come out of your selfish and self-centered lifestyles. Myself included. I'm in the boat with you guys. And I got beat up first by the Holy Spirit with this. And I'm just preaching to you. We have to understand and comprehend that everything is designed to help us fight the good fight of faith. And for the first time, some of you are really starting to see the resistance. Because you want to take these steps forward in the things of God. And what you're finding out is, it's not easy to get to where you thought would be easy. Is it, Nolan? How's your prayer life? Are we still praying for the things that we want God to give us, like a little child says to us, I need this, I want that, you know? Or are we, God, what do you want us to do? How do you want this done? Or are we still praying about Aunt Susie's hangnail, and we need a job, and, you know, my home life isn't good, and, you know, my marriage is falling apart, and we don't do anything to rectify it, because after all, God's going to take care of it, and at the end, I'm going to heaven. That's all that really matters. If that's your thought, read the scriptures. Read the scriptures. In the time that you've been here, hopefully we've been able to help your heart become more desirous for the things of God, to exhibit what God wants to do, and understand that the gates of hell, no matter how much oppression, no matter how much opposition we meet, no matter how much resistance is in our lives, we prevail. We win. And if your life isn't a winner's life, it's because you haven't done what God has said for you to do. Or you haven't been where you need to get built up. You don't know what it is that God wants you to know that He wants to do with you. Not my fault. I provide it. I set the table. I do what the Master says. And whoever wants to come and feed, comes and feeds. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. My kids, my job. You know what? I've lived it. And you can use the excuses, because I use them too. But the one thing is that when God gets a hold of you, you find out the excuses don't work anymore. When you come to meet with the living God, you find out that your little petty things don't matter. Whereas Ed says, don't sweat the petty things and don't pet the sweaty things. That's going through all the nations now. You'll be famous. In Jesus' name. But the goal here for everything is to be Christ-like, is to be like our Master. I'm not satisfied where I'm at, so I'm constantly seeking how I can become better. How can I reflect Jesus Christ more? How can I, my personal life, bring Him even more glory? How I can praise Him more and more? Well, Pastor, that's easy for you. After all, you've been doing this. I've been doing it because that's what's required. When I go to a restaurant, I'm not waiting to go into the kitchen and cook my own stuff. I pay somebody to bring my meal to me. My job in my Father's house is to prepare the table for you to sit down and eat. That's my job. And I do this with the thought of bringing Him glory to everything. How do we do this? How do we do this? How do we break this down so it's real simple? Go to James 4. James gives us the formula. And I mean it, I hate turning the things of God into a formula. But if this is the way in which you guys will finally get into the scriptures and start putting these things together, then I guess I'm going to have to do this. See, growing up, I know my kids, when they started growing up, we had this little fight at the table. It was like, I was trying to feed them and they were trying to grab the spoon out of my hand. And then the first time we let our kids feed, the food got all over the place. But they fought to do it themselves. You're waiting for me to feed you. You're going to be waiting Sunday upon Sunday. It is your job to feed your spirit each and every day. And if you are not in the Word of God, you are starving your spirit, man. It's really that simple. I just don't feel that it's important for me to be discipled. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It doesn't. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you call Him Lord and Master of your life? If you say yes, if He's only Savior and not Lord, you are in a terrible position. You are. If you have learned anything from this time when we started the ministry to this point here, you must understand that He expects you to grow up. It's your responsibility. My responsibility is to prepare the table, to cut the meat so that you can digest it, so that you can be built up in your most holy faith, to do what He has called you to do, to become that which He calls you at this moment, kings and priests of His house. But do you know how to be a king? Do you know how to be a priest? If you continue not to partake of what's being prepared for you, you never will. And you are in jeopardy of your salvation. I like to sit down and talk with you. Show me where I'm wrong. But I study the Scriptures. And I study with fear and trembling. That's why Jesus said, don't ask Him, you know, about all the goods that you've done. Ask Him if you're worthy of His kingdom. Because if you think that you're worthy of His kingdom, then you must understand that He's the King. He determines who enters in and who doesn't. I'm trying to make your life a little bit easier. And I didn't get this way because I thought that a Bible study was too much for me. Talk to Miss Irene. For the first 10 years of my salvation, I attended everything. No matter what. And I sacrificed. And one day she said, well, I think I'm going to do the same thing. If it's all right for him to attend, it's all right for me. And she met with great resistance, not from the enemy, but from God. Because you have to have your house in order. I have to be, the man of this house has to be in order to run the things of this house. James 4, 7 through 10 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We know this. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I hope you understand, he's talking to believers, or make-believers. Grieve and mourn and wail. Change your laughter into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Somehow we got this thinking that, you know, the church is unionized. Well, I've been in this church for 10 years and, why is Pastor raising that individual up? I've been here. I serve. I do my little stuff. I don't see what's the big deal for Pastor. Understand. And I've gone through this with two men so far in this fellowship. When God says to do something, I just do it. I don't have a great idea about it. It's not, when He makes a demand on me, it gets done. How we do it and when we do it, He determines. Your opinion and your thoughts are not considered. The king doesn't need them. And believe me, I tried convincing him from the beginning. State my case, why and why not. But when he says, do this, he knows better than I do. He knows better than you. James gives us this formula that causes us to mature. And that is through submission, obedience, act of faith, fervent prayer and endurance. Are you submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you obedient to what He tells you to do? Is your faith active? Do you have fervency in your prayer? Are you enduring? And I'm going to tell you what each one of these things are to help you put this piece of the puzzle together so that you understand where we're going. Okay? Because the singularity is now going to go away very shortly. It's about the church of Jesus Christ, the people of Jesus Christ. Not you, and I don't mean that personally, but you just become part of the whole. He's the head. We're just the body. He tells us and directs us which way to go and how to do things. And it all comes, first of all, in submission. Submission is to surrender in doing the will of another. This is the first step of a warrior in the Lord's army. Surrender to do the Lord's will. When we do this, resisting to do our own thing, the devil will flee every time. When God says to do something, it goes against our flesh. And immediately we want to do our own thing. I know. I've lived this. The moment we submit to do His will, it is the beginning of you becoming a spiritual warrior. Take the military. They are greenhorns when they come in, and what happens is the military breaks them down to have no identity and then builds them up into the identity that I'm a Marine, I'm an Army, I'm in the Navy. That's who their family is. It's not mommy and daddy anymore. It's not my wife or my kids. I identify with the Lord. He's the king. He's the boss. Where is your identity? Who do you identify with? Well, I identify with Pastor. You got the wrong identity. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Take the things that you see that's good in my life, but I am a mere man and a poor example of that. I know. I've looked in the mirror and I don't see the reflection of Jesus there yet, but I'm working on him. Obedience is complying to do the will of the authority over you. It is moving your will aside to do the will of another. How many times things come up and then we say to people, man, I'm sorry, I couldn't be there. I really wish I could, but I had something to do. It goes back to the teaching of the witchcraft that when we come to a detour or we come to an event that requires us to be there, are we easily dissuaded or do we find another way around to get where we need to be to do what God has called us to do? You see, Samuel put it really great. He said, sacrifice is better than obedience. Right? No, obedience is better than sacrifice. That somebody knows the scripture. Act of faith is living as the Word of God says and doing the Word no matter what our situation is or how we feel. 2 Corinthians 5:7. It believes the Word of God as the ultimate authority no matter what someone else says. Is God priority in your life? Is His Word priority in your life? Or do you, like teenagers, know everything? It's good. No problem. I know what God says. Okay. I tremble. And I've been walking with Him 30 years. I still tremble. The other day I was in prayer. Door shut. My wife comes in. What are you doing? I'm getting beat up by God. I'm praying. Streams is at a very critical point, whether you understand this or not. We're meeting much opposition because the enemy does not want us. If we were just a regular religious church or organization, we'd have opposition, but we're not. We're not called to be like them. We're not called to be like the world. We're not called to be religious. We're called to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that requires us to grow up. Act of faith has to be moving. It has to be going out and doing that which God says to do. Fervent prayer is a stated plea or request with emotional intensity for obtaining the request. It is heartfelt and occurs during times of great trial and testing. How's your prayer life? I know mine's in shambles. I'm rebuilding it because of what has happened to me. But I am not going to let the enemy destroy opinion of my foundation. I am actively bringing this back into the place that has to be. And praise God, some of you guys are beginning to take on this prayer because you understand, one, the dynamics that's involved in it, two, that I can't do it by myself. And when you look at the book of Acts, you don't see individuals, you see the church. Acts of the Apostles is what it's called, but it's actually the Acts of the church. The apostles led the church. Endurance is the ability to bear up or against something until the desired request is met or desired design is met. It never gives up. No matter how long it's going to take for this to come, it's not going to give up. What happens is you may alter your strategy in how to bring this about because God wants us to do stuff. It's kind of like, you know, you ever see that Far Side commercial or cartoon where it says the school, the gifted and talented, and the kid's over here like this, he's trying to push the door and it says turn to open, pull, whatever. That's the church right now. We're trying to do the same thing without reading what we're supposed to do and how to correlate in action for us to get through to do the next thing. But it's all about love, isn't it, Pastor? Oh, absolutely, it is about love. And God loves you. He loves you so much, He's here to tell you that what you're doing is not to His standards. So we have to back up, take a look, see what we're doing, and then move forward in the way that He wants things done. Our attention to detail is shabby. What do I mean by that? Are we battle ready? Or are we still worrying about God meeting our needs? My Bible says, He'll meet all my needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. My Bible tells me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Generally, in the make-believer's life, he's not even thought of. In the anomaly in the believer's life, he's still behind the glass that's waiting in case of emergency, open, break. You know, we're trying to solve this problem with our natural mind, and the reality of it is we need to seek God on behalf of what He wants done and how He wants it done. He loves us tremendously. He hates seeing us run around there like this guy trying to get this door open. We'll get it, God. Oh, I need your help, God. Give me a stick of dynamite. And all He said is turn the handle or pull. It's called direction. Are we battle ready? Or are we weary? Are we tired of, this is just too hard? You know, pastors making it sound like I got a lot of work. No, God says you got a lot of work. I didn't get here because I was born again yesterday and God poured it all in. I had tremendous lessons I had to learn. And I want to exhort you that without the proper tools, you are not capable of going through these lessons. If you think you had the answer, and if you think that God doesn't know what He's talking about, look at your life and tell me, how's it working for you? Because how it was working for me in the beginning almost cost me my family. Almost cost me what was near and dear to me than anything else. They are more near and dear to me than my own life. I would have gladly sacrificed my life so that nothing would have happened to them. Are you willing to sacrifice your life for something greater, something better? I can't answer it for you. But I can make you think about it. Weariness comes from a condition that happens long after there has been a significant spiritual resistance to our faith. It is always when the darkness is the darkest. When we're about ready to receive the answer, we give up. We're tired of this. It comes into endurance. Do we have hidden agendas, hidden things going on in our hearts that we participate in these things because we have a form of religion and not the power of God to lead us through these things. I'm saying this all to you because what is happening is that when we get into the church building, your individuality, not that it doesn't matter, but you've had time. You've had provisions made for you to participate in this stuff. And we could use our kids, we could use school, we could use our work schedule, we could use the shift that we're on, we could use that we don't have enough money. Faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. If you've been unfaithful in the little, guess what? He's not going to give you any more. You have to prove yourself with the little. In every case, in every scenario. I don't want us to be a church that, oh, we have great worship services and yeah, you know what, we go to these meetings and it's a great time of getting together and all this other stuff and not be changed. Not be changed. When we're battle ready, the enemy is going to throw out every accusation and every assault that he can. And it's going to come from the church. It's not going to come from the world. The church is going to say, oh, you guys are too bold. You guys are too fervent for me. You're too militant. You know, God is a God of love. You're just too radical. But I don't want to ever hear them say, you're too lukewarm. You're too apathetic. Too compromising. That will come from the Lord, in which you will give an account to, too. I could care less what the rest of the church is doing. I could care less with what's going on in the network at this stage. And I talked with Pastor Tusi this week about what's going on and explained to him our decision about not participating. Physically, I'm not able to. I'm taking steps and to get where I need to be. But I explained to him your situation. Change of jobs. No job. The commitment of the finances of this church is committed for us to get into the building. That's why it's a sacrifice for Miss Holly and Irene. It's coming out of our personal finances to have these needs met. Yeah, Pastor, well, you know, that's great for you to say. Wait a minute. I just went on fixed income. I'm learning how to redo my budget. I don't have the resources available to me any longer. I have to learn my stewardship all over. You see, if I didn't have kingdom finances to teach me and show me how to do this, I wouldn't have anything to fall back on. Except, well, if I don't budget money for this, and the kids need to eat, I'm going to this thing. Kids can starve for a few days. That'd be fun. Well, that's generally what happens. It's not priority. Everything in the kingdom must become priority to all of us. When we go into the church building, this individuality will stop. It won't have the same dynamic. The dynamic of discipleship and foundational trainings and stuff will come through what I'm going to call Lighthouse Ministries. You will have ministry in your home. You will have opportunity to share your faith with those who don't know Jesus Christ. That's where we're going, church. And it's going to happen, with you or without you. I hope it's with you. The dynamics is already starting already with me building relationships with not only Pastor Mike, but there's another pastor I'm going to be meeting with. Has to deal with dealing with the town fathers, of which the church needs to aggressively become a piece of the puzzle to know what the heartbeat is going on in our town. We've been to council meetings trying to resolve an issue that God just sovereignly spoke and said, this is no longer an issue. This is what I need you to do. Now, how we go about that, we're going to talk about it. But we're moving this thing forward. We are realistically, with this planning board meeting that Nick and I are going to go with, and Irene, and that's really what they tell me, it's a formality. We're 3 weeks away after this meeting. 3 weeks to be in our own facility. And we can get excited, and it's been a struggle. It has been. But it's ours, and we need to learn to fight for what God has given to us. He told Israel, go and take the land. Did I have to do anything? Or did I just sit on a lounge chair and say, God, would you change the channel? When they stopped fighting was when they became complacent. They didn't take any more territory. They compromised their value system instead of destroying their enemy completely. It became a problem. Read the lessons. Study the lessons. I'm doing it right now. They're trying to discourage us. They're trying to tell us that this can't happen. But yet God has placed individuals in our lives saying, we're with you. You don't have to worry about it. You know, do this, do this, do this. We're with you. We'll make sure it's taken care of. God is with us, people. But if He's not active in your life because you're missing some points in there, I actively want to exhort you to understand how important you are to this ministry, how important you are to God, and how much of a weapon He wants to turn you into. But it's not going to happen because you have better ideas. It's doing it the way He says to do it, by the design and the purpose that He says to do it. We can have a great time in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think the greatest reward for us, besides seeing the baby, and for Irene and I, the greatest thing is having a grandchild, but to see a newborn believer in Jesus Christ come, become born again. And that's going to happen through you guys. You're going to lead people to Jesus Christ. You're the one that's going in. But if you don't know how to do this and don't know what your whole foundation is all about and have understanding that, you know, these Bible studies, they're optional. They're not optional. They're just a meal being prepared for you to equip you for the greater things of God. And if you can take that and understand that, then my exhortation is great. If you activate your faith, and it becomes that for you. Amen? Father, we just rejoice in You, Lord God. I thank You, God, that You have expressed Your purposes to Your people. You have given wisdom, God, and I thank You, God. I thank You for Your Spirit. I thank You for the love that You've given to me for Your people, God, and for this community. That Your heart is always towards the backslider, God. That it's to win him to You. And to provide a life that they didn't think was possible. Who would have thought, God, that 30 years ago when You called me, that I'd be doing this? And I'm grateful, God. I'm grateful that You have found me faithful to lead Your people into greater things. God, I just pray that we come away from this thing today, God, to really examine where we are. To understand that there is a responsibility on our part to You, God. That through Your wisdom You have made provision for us. And we've not taken it to heart. God, I pray that as we go forward today that we really reflect. We pull out our books and our manuals and our lessons and stuff that we have in tapes and stuff, God, and we really begin to put it together. Those of us who haven't been discipled would see the validity of one life being poured into the next, because that's what you did, God. And if you did it, how much more do we need to follow it? Lord, you are our example for everything. You are the answer to every problem that we have. Lord, you are our very life. And you tell us that if we don't produce fruit of righteousness, you will lop us off and cast us into the fire. God, I pray that that not be our case, that we've not been slothful, that we've not been fearful, but we have come to an understanding of just the importance of what has been provided for us, so that we can move across this threshold together, God, to be the church of Jesus Christ in this community and be an example to every church, God. To work together with brothers and sisters, no longer condemning them or making fun of them, God, but you have given to us so much, God, and we want to share it with your household. We are humbled, God, but we are looking forward to the day that we can have an all-out blast with the building, God, to honor you. And to dedicate that facility that you have given to us, God, where your name, that is above every other name, that Jesus will be declared, and that even our knees will bend before that day in heaven. God, I just pray that you continue to work in our hearts, work in our minds, but work through our lives, God, that which is pleasing and brings you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.